Attention, men. Are you wanting to break free from porn or other unwanted sexual behaviors, but finding it seemingly impossible to quit? If so, we can help. My name is Jonathan Daugherty, the founder of Gateway to Freedom. This 3-day workshop is for any man who wants to overcome any kind of unwanted sexual behavior. So whether you're married, single, or divorced, this powerful and proven intensive weekend will help you uncover what is at the root of your struggle and discover the man God always created you to be. Space is limited, so call us today at 210-822-8201 to register. That's 210-822-8201, or visit bebroken.org/GTF. Good day, friends. Jonathan Daugherty here with another edition of the Pure Sex Radio program. You know, we're a listener-supported outreach of Be Broken Ministries, and we exist to help men, women, and families move from sexual brokenness to wholeness in Christ and equip others to do the same. You know, in today's episode, Dr. Stephen Cervantes and I are going to explore the importance of self-awareness in relationships, especially for husbands. We discuss how men can enhance their relationships by recognizing their interaction patterns and understanding their own emotional state and that of their wives. Stephen emphasizes the value of men engaging with their wives through simple acts like sharing daily thoughts and curiosity, which can foster meaningful dialogue. We're also going to touch on the challenges of communication, the impact of self-absorption, and the importance of processing disappointment with God first. Ultimately, the episode offers practical tools for men to nurture deeper connections with their wives. For daily insights from Stephen, visit drmarriage.org. For additional resources, visit our website at bebroken.org or check out some of the links that we're going to put into the show notes today. And please rate and review the podcast after listening because, friends, this really does help other people to find it. Now, let's get into today's conversation on helping men practice self-awareness to build stronger relationships. All right, Dr. Stephen Cervantes, how's it going today?
It is good. It is well with my soul.
That's always good to hear.
It is good.
Yeah, we are we're recording this kind of heading into the fall, although it's still 90 degrees plus around here. But I have to tell you, this is always my favorite time of year.
Oh, yes.
Because I just love kind of heading into cooler weather. I love the holidays. I love all that. Now, by the time this airs, it might actually be the new year. So, because we've just had a ton of guests this year on the podcast, and just it's been great. But
that's good. Really so, good.
Again, I want to make a plug for drmarriage.org. This is where we've been getting our podcast ideas, because Stephen puts out kind of a daily thought and just something to just make people think about recovery and life and relationships and emotional growth and all of that.
And let me just tell you, I have this dream that men will read this daily thought to their wives. Mm. Why? Women love it when men come to them. And when men bring ideas and want to talk to them and engage, and they sought me out, brought the topic, have a few minutes, they read to me. I mean, it just touches a woman's heart.
Yeah, that's really good.
So that's what we're men helping men do better in their relationships. And we'll do all the work, okay? All you have to do is read the blog to your wife. And then it'll probably foster a little conversation. What are our complaints? He won't talk to me. Well, guess what? We got a tool. They'll engage a little dialogue. It's not overwhelming. It's not hours. You read one blog. That's it. So we're making it simple.
Well, that's what I love about, I mean, even if you think about how God has designed us, right? Mm. It's not complicated. Now, I mean, how good are we at men at making things complicated when they don't need to be? But, you know, life actually is simple. Love God, love your neighbor. You know, it's kind of like, anyway, sin is really what messes everything up and makes it all complicated. Mm. But I love what you're saying, because even as you were saying that, I was going, yeah, this is something I need to start incorporating into my marriage, because that's so simple. But you're absolutely right, because as soon as you said that about women like it, when I was going, I've literally heard those words come out of my wife's mouth of, I love it when you just bring me new ideas. I love it when you talk to me. I love it when you share stuff with me. So
thank you for saying that, because that's the sweet spot. And we're making it as easy as possible. All you have to do is go get your thought, read it to your wife, and you're the hero. Mm. Right? And she gets a little soul nurturing and love and acceptance and engagement. And it's like the world will pull you away. But when will you go find your wife? I mean, I think that's the power. You bring it to her.
Yeah, that's good.
That means he's looking for me. He wants to talk to me. He wants to read to me, right? You could have read this to yourself. And some guys tell me, oh, I read it all the time. To your wife? No. I read it all the time. Well, great. I hope you're getting better. But you could get double mileage if you just read it in the direction of your wife, because then she could have, you know, and the wives love them. Yeah, they just love them. They're simple insights. And I got to tell you, I try not to say stupid things you already heard.
Yeah.
I try to say beefy things. And I got 30 years of counseling experience. So I can tell you the difference between the old tired, retread statements and fresh ideas.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you.
Speaking of that, we've got one here that's all about recognizing patterns.
Yes, sir.
I think this is something I want to learn. And so I think it's going to be really helpful for a lot of the guys that want to learn this too.
Oh, my goodness. When you can see what you're doing that's wrong. I mean, this is like coaching, right? Mm-hmm. We tweak you. The coach tweaks you. Move this way. Look at yourself. See what you're doing. Pay attention. Because when somebody starts to pay attention to themselves, oh, my goodness, we're good at paying attention to others. Mm-hmm. And we can point every flaw out. But are we good at looking at ourselves? And that's the challenge. That's where growth occurs, when I see myself. So I love it when a guy has an aha moment. He goes, I just saw the pattern of the dance between my wife and myself, and I saw my side, and I'm in charge of my side. If I manage my side of this dance that goes off the rails better, maybe it won't go off the rails, at least for my half.
That's good, yeah.
So that's what this thing about patterns is. So this guy says, I've been paying attention to myself. What am I thinking? What am I doing? The conversation starts to get heated. What do I start to think and say? And he said, I saw myself this weekend. I started to believe some things. Why is she talking to me like that? I started telling myself some things. I started listening. What am I thinking right now? And he said, I'm really learning my half of the interactions with my wife.
Okay. So the main pivot point that I see here in terms of just the key to kind of this part one here is just moving towards a sense of being self-aware.
Yes.
Because how many times are, and by the way, I want to say the difference between self-aware and self-absorbed.
Yeah.
Because a lot of men can be very self-absorbed. I mean, we meet them all the time in our workshops and everything, because that's why they're in our workshops, is because they become self-absorbed, meaning everything is about them, for them, you know, everything is just them. And so that's not self-awareness, because you're only looking at yourself and you're saying, what do I want? What do I need? What he's doing is, it's almost like he's starting to get a little bit of an outside perspective of himself. And that's that's self-awareness.
Yes.
Versus self-absorption.
That's good. You're being a good student today. You're paying attention, reinforcing the teaching points. That was good.
That's what I'm here for.
There you go. So first, I start to pay attention to myself. Second, I start looking at my wife. She has a tense face. She gets angry. Her head's down. She's sort of sullen. Then she says something with that tone. It's the angry, edgy tone. I can hear it. I know what it is. And she goes, I don't like this, and I don't like this. I don't like the dog. I don't like the carpet. I don't like my hair. I don't like the car. And I don't like you. Mm-hmm. Have you noticed we always make the list? Something about us always makes the list. And it looks, my first thought is, wow, she's trying to control me. She's trying to tell me what to do. She thinks I'm dumb. My mind starts racing. I start thinking all these thoughts. Well, who is she? Why does she get to say that and act that way to me? So first, I start to study my, first I'm aware, that's the first one. The second one, I start to study my wife. She didn't sound mad at first, but after three sentences, she started getting mad. It must have been there. She must have something. She's got a list of complaints. Something is going on with my wife.
Yeah, and I think the challenge at this point is to try to not to jump too...
Whatever the ethics are in, say, Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapters 4 and 5, and so on.
Wow. N.T. Wright has just joined our...
Is that bizarre or what?
So N.T. Wright just joined our podcast.
How did you know that was?
Oh, that was N.T. Wright. I love him, yeah. Maybe he's wanting to speak into this recognizing patterns.
Can we cut and just pick it up there? Or no, we have to start from the beginning.
Let's just keep going and then we'll...
Yeah, you just chop it in. So,
but what I wanted to say about this, the second part, is sometimes the hard thing about this is we want to try to jump forward real quick and try to interpret everything. But I think we need to pause here and just say, okay, what is he observing? What is he starting to see? He's recognizing, okay, at first, like we said, hey, there's self-awareness. And then now he's looking and he's just kind of getting the lay of the land of what his wife is doing. Let's not get to interpretation just yet. He's seeing her flare up. He's seeing what he perceives to be angry comments. He's taking that. He is taking that to mean that she's trying to control, but he's just observing right now and trying to figure out what's going on with her. Right?
Yes, but he also has to be careful to pay attention, because if he starts to think negative about her, oh, she's trying to hurt me. Oh, she's trying to control me. Oh, she doesn't think I'm important, or I don't matter, or only her ideas are good ideas. Right? As soon, it's tricky because we want to watch her, but our mind wants to take off and start to hijack the moment and interpret it.
Yeah, right? And also we want to think about it, especially if for those of us who've come out of a history of self-absorbed.
Yes.
As soon as we hear some kind of negativity in whatever form it is, it's very easy for us to then rather than take the moment for what it is, which is here's somebody who's expressing either pain or hurt or a feeling, and now make it all about me again and say, oh, but she's trying to control me. And, you know, there's a sense in which I'm trying to kind of pull control back to me rather than go, what's going on here?
And stay neutral.
Yeah.
Right? It's interesting what you're saying, because a self-absorbed person lives in their own world and comes out to engage when they need to, but they mostly live inside. And if I'm trying to get outside me and learn you, that's tricky, because my mind has these thoughts and my body has this response, and you look upset and I think, are you going to blow anytime soon? You
know? Yeah.
So now he starts to flood with thoughts and information. And what's interesting to me is he says, man, it's like a punch in my gut. Whatever she's doing over there is like she just hit me in the stomach. This stresses my body out. My chest gets really tight. And then I get the signal, I'm under attack. And normally I get goofy, because then I want to attack back.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, this is an attack. And I'm starting to see her anger and upset coming over my side. And then it looks like an attack on me.
Mm-hmm.
And my body's tightening up. I'm paying attention to me. My chest, and I feel like I took a punch. One guy said, it's like a punch in the face, man. And it's like, whoa, I want to fall back. You're telling me things, and even if I'm thinking, I mean, you're not telling me. You look angry. And so now I'm starting to flood, but I'm paying attention to me, and I can see a few things making sense as the pattern develops.
Yeah, and it's really hard, I think, at this point, to stay in that place of kind of neutral observer. Because guess what? And I think it's, let's just be honest. I mean, when you're engaging in this kind of dialogue with the person that you have covenanted with and that you are one with, you can't help but there be a very personal take it in a very personal tone or really, you know, struggle with how this hits you at the core. Like, and I think it's okay to be really vulnerable and honest about these feelings. Like you mentioned, that guy said, it feels like a punch in the face or a punch in the gut. I can't deny the fact that my chest tightens up or that I start hyperventilating, or, you know, there's a physical response that can happen to this that we don't just say, hey, that's no bearing. Again, there's a self-awareness that is growing.
Absolutely.
And so can I recognize the pattern? Oh, you know what happens when my wife gets angry at me? You know, it's like my throat closes and my, you know, yes. I start sweating and whatever else.
But it hits me in a deep place.
Yeah.
Right? It hits me in a deep discomfort, a deep fear, if you will. And when I like your wording, try to be a neutral observer of yourself and her. What's the pattern? What happens that our conversation gets derailed? We're two friends. We love each other. We sacrifice, we die for each other, but our dialogues get derailed. Her half, my half. Maybe we could pay attention, learn, and do something better, because suddenly now I'm all tense and flooding, and I've got to do something for survival.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just talking and telling me about pain in her life.
Yeah. Some of that, too, is recognizing some of what you're pointing out here, Stephen, is recognizing some of just the general differences between men and women. And, of course, anytime we make these inferences, we recognize we always get letters or emails from people that are like the outliers. There's always a bell curve to these things, right? And there's always extremes on either end. But typically speaking, what we have seen over the years of our ministry with couples is that women can verbally process at a rate of speed that is so much faster than men. And so a lot of times then happens is what we might be seeing here in this stage of the conversation is a man is flooding because he's feeling, I'm getting punched in the gut, and he's feeling defensive, but he is not able a lot of times verbally to keep up with any kind of pace that his wife is having here. So sometimes this is why there's such a kind of panic state at this stage of this kind of an interaction.
And they're better with their words, right? Yeah. They have more words and they paint pictures with their words. We say yes, no, and okay. You know, that sort of works.
But I'm just saying that's another reason why sometimes there can be such a sense of panic
right.
at this state in a man because of all these factors.
You know? Right. And if we're not experienced talkers, is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Along with what you're saying, is like we don't have a lot of depth to all this. We don't need deep dialogue with men. We don't usually do that. Excuse me. So what Jonathan say? The guy's flooding, and he's trying to survive, and he's starting to drown. So what does he do? He checks out. He starts to run away. He starts to give her the silent treatment. He says, fine, I'm going to go hide inside myself. You think you're going to get to me? No. I'm just going to put cold image out front and stare at you and go, no, you're not going to hurt me. Mm-hmm. Now, when I do that, then she gets confused. She was mad. I flood. I run away or hide or get out of range or go silent on her. Then she doesn't like that. She becomes confused and angry. Oh, I see this little pattern here where part of what I did didn't help her.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever she was trying to do, I took it as personal attack, and I withdrew. And I don't think my withdrawing is working that well.
Right. Yeah. And that's part of the recognizing of the pattern too, right? Is that this is why the self-awareness piece is so important, because when the action that's being taken is, hey, I'm getting out of here, I'm escaping. I may still physically be in the room, but I've gone so deep inside of myself, there's nothing, you know, I'm not going to engage. I'm not connecting here.
Mm.
But again, even that is important to recognize because that's the pattern, right?
Absolutely. And all these little pieces make up the pattern mm-hmm. of how I manage myself and present myself. And when I'm uncomfortable, how I act. And if you think I'm imperfect, right? And tell me I'm flawed. Well, how am I going to handle that?
Right.
You're my friend. You're supposed to be safe. You're supposed to be comfort. Now you're challenging me? No, I don't want to hear it. Stop.
Well, and even
make it go away. Stop.
And you know, there are those that I can hear saying, but it's the truth. And I always think, okay.
Is that the husband or the wife saying that?
Either one of them could say it. But okay. Here's the thing. Even if it is true, the way that's coming across to the husband is, and I've heard this from plenty of guys. They're like, oh yeah, my wife will, you know, regularly point out all the ways in which I've failed in the past. And it's all true. And so I go, yeah, what's that doing for building connection or fostering change or, you know what I mean? So there's a sense in which just rehashing and replaying and doing this over and over again is not necessarily going to draw a man out, is not going to draw a man up. Mm-hmm. And again, I want to be very careful here. I'm not putting pressure on wives here. This is not about. What we're talking about here is a man coming to a self-awareness of his pattern,
yes,
so that he can take responsibility for change. What I just mentioned is maybe just a little sidebar nugget for wives who are trying to think about how to express certain things, maybe in a way that can truly penetrate and get across rather than just constantly pointing out flaws and failures.
I had this thought. I'm going to share it with you. Tell me what you think. I think all disappointment must go to God first. Any disappointment you have about your wife has to go to God first, not to your spouse. Second, you want to say something, say it. But every time you're hurt, you're disappointed, you don't like something, you're offended, you didn't get what you wanted, you have pain, before you go tell your spouse, I think you have to go to God and say, this humanity has disappointed me, Father. I wanted so much more. I wished, I hoped for, and I didn't get it, Father. Then I get to tell you, second.
You know, I think that's a good rule of thumb for any disappointment or anything along those lines with anybody, is to go to God first. I mean, that may feel like the overly simplistic Sunday school answer, but it's like, it's true. And the reason is because I think we don't have clarity and perspective until we go into God's presence.
Mm.
I mean, I think about so many of the Psalms of David, where you read those Psalms, and just from the beginning to the end of the Psalm, there's such a difference. Like, he's bringing his pain, he's bringing his confusion, bringing his sin, he's bringing all these things. And after spending some time just pouring these things out to God, by the end of it, there's a sense of rest, there's a sense of clarity, there's a sense of, oh, I've been in the presence of God now, I'm going to be okay, you know, that kind of thing. Whereas if we were to run first to the person who offended us or, you know, try to figure it out on our own, we might not get to that sense of clarity and peace.
And we need to take the anger part out. We can deliver the information without the intensity and the anger. Tell God you're unhappy first. Tell God you felt shorted, you want more. Tell God all of your disappointment. Because look, we're humanity.
Mm-hmm.
People are never going to be everything you wanted all the time, the right way, the way. No, everybody disappoints everybody else. But I'm just thinking, if you pray about it, take your disappointment to God first, then you and he process it, then you come back, half the anger's gone. You can still say, I don't like this, it doesn't work, it doesn't work for you, it doesn't work. You can still say that, but it probably goes in better.
Mm-hmm.
When you've taken some of the intensity out of it.
Absolutely, I agree.
So that's a side note in this journey, because the guy's having a light bulb moment in our conversation. I see that I take offense, that I get angry, I run away, I don't like her tone. Well, okay, but I'm not going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I acting like my very survival, everything is dependent on, I have to run away. It's my wife telling me about the pain in her life or the pain in my life or some disappointment. And nothing, does anything really change Because if she didn't like the carpet, the dog, her car, her hair, or her husband, does anything change in the next few minutes? No, nothing changes.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize I'm going to be a disappointment to my wife. I'm human. I cannot not be a disappointment. But can we be kind, and can we see what we're doing that's not working, and can we learn ourselves better and run a better system? And I'm asking this of the guys out there. Pay attention to yourself. Some of the things you're taking as personal offenses when she's upset.
Mm-hmm.
Why does her upset have to cause you so much pain that you act ugly? Look at the pattern.
And I like what you're saying there, because sometimes we are thinking, and we're going to get to a minute in terms of like the light bulb moment turning into an opportunity for change. But I think it's important what you're saying there, Stephen, because sometimes we are on both sides in a marriage. We're looking at the disappointment, and we're looking and we're trying to bring our side of that disappointment in a way of manipulating or forcing the outcome that we want. Like, hey, I'm going to tell you how I'm disappointed, and this is how it wants you to change, and this is the thing. Instead of what would happen if, kind of like what you're talking about, if we brought that first to God and then brought ourselves to each other, and then rather than pointing at the other and saying, you do this, you do that, you said, I've been in the presence of God, and these are the things that I want to talk to you about. And how can we walk this together? Like, how can we?
And I'd go a step further and say, how can I say it to you so you don't want to run away? Because I'm your friend.
Yeah.
Can I use a softer tone? Can you coach me? Because I don't want to set you off.
I'll give you.
But I want to talk to you.
I'll give you an example. So this is confession time, and maybe this is, you know, too vulnerable, but it's been 21 years. You guys know me. But so one of the things that has been coming up in recent history in my own marriage is a lot of times whenever my wife and I are going to be talking about something that has a plan element to it, like either a trip or a purchase or something like that, it's like a switch flips. And I just go into total logic mode. But what I don't recognize a lot of times is that when I go into that mode, the tone of my voice changes. I don't even recognize it.
Yeah.
And so just recently, my wife and I, we were on a trip and we were just having a conversation. We're talking blah, 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 all along. And then one of these topics comes up and I didn't even recognize my tone changes. And then, you know, a few minutes later, I noticed that she's just like stone silent. And I was like, what's wrong? She says, why are you mad at me? And I thought, what are you talking about? And then she had to say, what happened? She's like, it happened again, your tone. And so then we eventually got back to say, okay, can we revisit the conversation? And she did exactly what you said. She says, all right, can we talk about this again? But this time, can you say it softly?
Oh, the same words. Just say them softly.
Just say it softly. And I thought, okay, because I don't even recognize. And that's what I think is important is like, we make assumptions sometimes about our spouse that they may be totally, they may not see themselves. And what are we talking about here? Recognizing patterns and self-awareness. Sometimes as a spouse who says, I'm your friend, they can bring the awareness that we need in order to say, I didn't even see that in myself.
But I love that. You're just putting, you know, meat on the bones here of this example, because you're saying I could see when I went into logic solution mode here.
The way that was received by her. Yeah, it sounds angry to her.
Yeah.
It sounds angry to her, and I'm not angry, but it's anyway.
That is beautiful, because that's exactly the point. How do we learn about ourselves? Because if we move that aside, we could have a great conversation, a great day. She doesn't have to get weird. Then you get weird because she got quiet, and then you get weird. Then she gets weird.
Right.
That whole thing. So this guy finally concludes, when I get stressed and overwhelmed, and I don't like the conversation, I'm disappointed, so I get to run away, and I'll control this conversation. I will just stop it by leaving, either internally or physically. But I've started to stop myself. I start to run because you're going to do the old pattern. Mm-hmm. Then I turn around and say, no, I don't run or run away. I want to engage you. You're my friend. I'm feeling stressed right now. It feels like an attack, but I don't want to run away. I care about you. You care about me. I want to break the pattern of me taking it personal, having to defend myself, protect myself from a woman who's in pain.
Mm-hmm.
Your pain makes me nuts. It's like, what's the matter with me? It's your pain. And how could I engage you better? And he's waking up to see, if I could do my half better, it would change at least half of our hard dialogues.
Yeah. And even if, you know, again, we can only be responsible for what we're responsible for, right?
Right.
But I think it makes a huge difference, because I think if anyone in the relationship starts to break a pattern that has been unhealthy,
yes,
it has a compounding effect on the whole relationship. And so anyone, either spouse that wants to engage in saying, I want to be better at recognizing my own patterns that are unhealthy, man, just start to go down that path of making that change. It starts with that self-awareness, and then you've got to recognize the whole pattern to get to this place of going, I know that my old way was to run, so I'm going to turn around and return, and I'm also going to state where I'm at and the fact that I want to change.
Yes, so. That's great. Thank you guys for listening, for showing up. You're good students. You get an A for attending today's class. Watch yourself and make small changes to the glory of our God.
Absolutely.
Amen, everybody.
We want to help you take your next best step towards wholeness in Christ, so please reach out to us, and we'll look forward to seeing you back here again next time on the Pure Sex Radio program.
You're the best.
Take care.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.